We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, February 27th, wrapping up the month here. And Roy, do y'all have just a fun little result that just took place or what?
Yeah, so we just went back-to-back wins for West Ham for the first time in almost a year. So it's a nice feeling. I mean, it was Leicester. But yeah. That doesn't mean that we're guaranteed anything the way we play, but starting to look a little bit better the last two matches. I mean, you know, we beat Leicester, but we also beat Arsenal. And last two seasons, we beat Arsenal, and it's ruined their title hopes. And this year looks like it might be the same. So that wouldn't hurt my feelings in the slightest. But we do have a little bit of break now. We don't play again for another, I think, 11 days.
So there you go. It'll be good. We'll definitely get more back into that as time goes on. But I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
Yeah, and I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class 2015.
And yeah, we got plenty to get into on the podcast today. Definitely been an interesting result, both positive and negative across the athletic department over the past week and a half or so. So I said we got plenty to get into. Now the question is, Roy, do we want to do bad news first or good news first?
I don't care.
How's about let's go ahead and rip off the band-aid. Let's start with basketball.
All right. Yeah, that's not a bad place to start. So, you know, last week we were sitting here lamenting a loss to Mississippi State that probably we shouldn't have lost, knowing that Tennessee would be difficult, but also knowing that you had a game not necessarily set on a tee for you against Vanderbilt at home, but kind of set on a tee for you with Vanderbilt at home, and just actually blow it. Like, just blow it. That's all there is to it. You can dig into the stats on this game. 75 free throw attempts is ridiculous. The amount of time it took to play, like, the last minute or so is completely asinine. Mm-hmm. But being down 12 at home to Vanderbilt in the first half is where your problems start. And this is now two out of the last three games that our opponents have figured out how to beat us at our own game, because Mississippi State did the same thing. Mm-hmm. They beat us at our own game when it comes to hustle and rebounding. We didn't have a ton of turnovers, but we had some really untimely turnovers against Vandy. Tennessee, I think we said, you know, Tennessee is what it is. You know, you just kind of hold on and pray. They're just such a good basketball team. But they're not, you know, but Mississippi State isn't as good as them, and Vanderbilt isn't as good as Mississippi State, yet here we are. Now, I will say it was interesting to see a graphic last night on the on the broadcast. I didn't realize this, and this in no way excuses anything that happened, but Vanderbilt has now beaten a ranked Kentucky, ranked Tennessee, ranked Ole Miss, and ranked Texas A&M team.
Yeah.
That just kind of shows you how ridiculous the depth is. They're sub 500 in conference, and they're talking about being a 9 or 10 seed. So that's, it doesn't make it feel any better. You still should have beat them.
Yeah, well, especially at home, right? I mean, that's the whole idea, right? You got to protect home court, and you have not done that last couple of games. And let's just say the slate does not exactly get easier from here either.
I'm kind of looking forward to them to getting on the road. Like, just get through the regular season and get away from Reed.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of inexplicable. So just, I mean, you've got Florida on the road, which they've shown they can do it on the road, you know. And you have three games left at Florida, number one team in the country at home, which if you lose to Florida, nobody's going to show up for senior night.
Right.
Then you finish the season on the road at Baton Rouge, a game which, again, you should win, but you should and you do are two different things in this world right now.
Right.
So this is one where we talked about it this morning on the fan show. Like, it's not a must win, but it's kind of a must win. Like, this, you're in dire straits right now because you're not going to sit there and tell me you expect to beat Auburn, right?
No, and I don't think anybody in any kind of reality will say that that's the case. And unfortunately, you are sitting on a three-game skid going into these last three. So, I mean, you know, what do you got to do?
mean, you have a potential 5-game skid coming up. You could drop to like a 5 seed. Because again, I don't think tournament play really has much of any effect on seeding anymore. Outside of somebody that wasn't going to get in the tournament wins the tournament kind of thing, or wins their
Sure.
conference. So you got to find a way to go 2-1 in these next three. Like, you've got to find a way, and whether that's on the road against a incredibly talented Florida team, or it's somehow accidentally at home against the best team in the country. And that's not just the number by there. They're the best team in the country.
They are.
You got to find a way, man. You got to go 2-1.
Yeah. I think for your confidence going into the postseason, I think that's so critical because, I mean, you're really not going to gather much in the SEC, as you mentioned, in the SEC tournament. And by the time you get to the actual tournament itself, if we're kind of holding ourselves the way we have as a team going into the, going into the actual tournament, even as a higher seed, you don't like the way we've been playing, and it's not going to look great if you're going out in, the first round or the round of 32, right? It's like we definitely don't want to see that.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing there's talk about doing away with conference championship games in football. And to be honest, I think that's a debate that could at least be tabled, like bring it to the table and let's talk about it.
Sure.
But you can't get rid of conference tournaments in basketball, man. So there's
No.
teams playing for their lives. And so, but you're not going to glean much from it. It doesn't have much to do with your seeding, really, unless you were coming in on the bubble and you get to your, I mean, in theory, but we've also seen that theory not work.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those where you have 3 games to put a bow on your resume, and that's all you've got. But two of those three are ridiculous opportunities, but they could also be ridiculously bad outcomes.
It
So
could be.
that's just kind of the curiosity, like where are we at, right? So I just. I hope that the morale is still high, you know.
Right.
I hope they're not jumping down each other's throats. I hope they're finding solutions and not finding blame. Take accountability and move on. Like, you somehow have to be able to flush the last 3 games, and more than anything, you have to flush the Vandy game.
You have to. You absolutely have to. Because, I mean,
Mississippi State and Tennessee. You can all like dealing with losing to Tennessee. That look, a lot of teams have lost to Tennessee, right?
Right.
Losing Mississippi State again, playing on the road, it's tough. It's top 25 matchup, so you can almost kind of deal with that too. Losing at home to Vandy is unacceptable.
No, especially with this team this year. I mean, the expectation's been set at home against those type of teams. You need to win.
Yeah, there's you have to, you have to, and. Now we should be at 10-5 in conference, and we're at 9-6. I mean, we really should be at 11-4. We shouldn't have lost to Mississippi State, but that's so far in the rear view at this point. It doesn't matter. They have a 3-game season right now. Nothing else matters in that 3-game season, and they have got to go 2-1 in it. And
Definitely.
I don't care which one's which. I don't care if you beat Auburn or you beat Florida. One's not going to really move the needle more than the other. Maybe Florida because you're on the road, but then you turn around and you're at home, but it's number one Auburn. So neither of those are going to move a needle, but you got to have one of them. So it starts on Saturday, and it's they better bring it. And I don't know what's going on with Manny right now. He's not getting minutes, and when he does, he's not doing well. I don't know what's going on, but we desperately need him to turn it back on like he did last year. We've got to have that extra weapon. So I don't want to go super in depth on basketball. It's just,
No, it's fair.
it's, I don't want to say it's bleak, and I have in no, like, I'm not jumping from a cliff on anything right now. There's
No.
no reason to, but it's getting a little more serious when it comes to the basketball team and the rest of their season and how that's going to affect them getting seeded. And because the
Right.
seed is obviously important relative to who you might get matched up with,
Right.
either second game of the first weekend or the second weekend. So they need to look at this. This is, I mean, you can look at it two different ways, but to me, I think you just have to barrel down to they need to be looking at seeding. Like,
Right.
we have to do the best we can to get the highest seed that we can. I don't care about the SEC tournament. I don't think it matters, but they've got two phenomenal opportunities in front of you. Oh, and by the way, when you finish the season in Baton Rouge, just because they suck doesn't mean they don't hate you.
Oh yeah, no, and they'll bring it, and that'll be their senior night. It'll be a, it'll be a big time game for them, and a chance for them to, obviously, probably not looking at any kind of tournament berth for them at this point, but a chance to potentially stick it to a team that you already don't like.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, that's what everybody wants to say. That is a rivalry. You know, that's an
It
all-season
is.
rivalry. So that's, I mean, you go 0-3, you're not on a, well, I don't want to think about, we're not
Yeah.
going to think about that.
No.
I'm not all positivity, but we're not going to go that far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Biggest thing is going to Florida. And really, if you can go on the road to Florida and even get into a one possession game at the buzzer, I think coming home to Auburn, you're like, man, we just took the number three team on the road, you know, to the wire,
At
you
their
know,
place.
at their place, you know, you got to feel good about it. You know, I know there's no moral victories, but for the players, sometimes it's not moral victory so much as it is just like the true positives that you can take away, even in a close loss. If you go to Florida, get your doors blown off, senior night's going to be a ghost town in Reed, man.
I mean, it already didn't look great against Vanderbilt, and I understand it was a two, I know it's a Wednesday weeknight, but I mean, with this particular team, I mean, I just don't see the excuse of having such a light crowd at Reed at any point this season, just as with the type of talent we have and the amount of students we have on campus. I would like to see more support out of that, but I'm not
Yeah,
going to
and
sit here and criticize the students too much.
no, yeah, I mean, I know there's exams and I understand that. It's a 6 p.m. tip. But it's not just the students that weren't like fully packed in.
Sure.
You know, it was just kind of across the board. But again, I'm not gonna harp on attendance at all. That we've had some of the highest attendance ever in the history of Reed, you know, this season. And again, we've talked about it before. We're not a basketball school. We're a very fair weather basketball school. But if you win, they will come.
Right.
If you go to Florida and win, that Auburn game it could potentially feel like Kyle Field. You have seats bouncing, like, you know, the buzz around the building. So they've got an opportunity to make senior night really special if they can go beat Florida on the road. Because then all of a sudden, I mean, you think you got a chance. It doesn't matter. It's number one. We just beat number three. It's not that big of a valley between them, right?
Right. So we're definitely gonna have to see what those boys do, and we'll see how this result plays out coming up here at
And
Florida.
we're rooting for them. Like, I'm not
Oh
trying
yeah.
to pick on the team, but the results are the results. Like, the facts are that we have lost three straight, and the odds will tell you that we're going to lose five straight. They have got to get one of these next two and then just not slip up in Baton Rouge. And that's my take on it. And I don't care if it's Florida. I don't care if it's Auburn. Get one of them.
All right, so might as well get on into baseball too at this
Great.
point. And looking back at this past weekend and Tuesday, positives, things that I liked. First and foremost, starting pitching for the most part for the last four games, honestly, was excellent. Really proud of our starting rotation. They have looked outstanding. Honestly, Patton coming in on Sunday, he looked outstanding in
Yeah, I
person.
was blown away by Miles Patton. I thought he pitched a great game. Yeah, that's the one thing. You know, really, really good teams have two pitchers. The great have three.
And starting rotation has looked great. I love that for all three of the guys. I'm really, really happy for Justin Lampkin, especially after kind of a slow start he had in his first outing. He looked a lot better in game two, whenever he was going up against Cal Poly. Unfortunately, of course, you end up dropping game three, which, that'll happen. But
Baseball.
baseball. But then you turn around and you start seeing issues with this Texas State game. I understand that was our first Tuesday. We didn't get our first game in against McNeese. And this game against Texas State, which ends up turning kind of into a quick bullpen game, and let's just say wasn't overly impressed with what we saw on that front. But more concerning than that for me personally, as much as I didn't much care for what I saw out of the bullpen, the bats have continued to struggle even in this, what was a significantly better weather day than what we had seen over the past six before that. So be
Yeah,
curious how you feel.
White Hensler had a good game on Tuesday. So we went into Tuesday night. You know, let me preface this by saying two things. One, I absolutely hate it for Gavin that he's out for the year. That
Yes.
sucks. Sucks for him more than it sucks for us. Get over yourself as a fan.
Right.
But Two, like we went into Tuesday knowing that, like he openly, Coach Early openly admitted, like we're gonna throw a ton of arms, and that's what you do on early season Tuesday games is you have to figure out what you have, and there's a lot of youth in that bullpen, and when it's not youth, it's inexperience, which may as well be youth, and so we knew it was gonna be rocky. Teams like Texas State and Sam Houston, they don't hang their seasons on it, but man, beating teams like A&M and Texas because they do the interstate or inside the state kind of roundabout on the bus tour. They love nothing more than to be able to give the big boys a game and just kind of prove to them, like, hey, maybe you should have recruited me kind of thing. I get that, but it's the ultimate chip on the shoulder. But there, the offense concerned me. But baseball, it'll come back to the norm. Hitters are going to hit, right? I mean, Jason Laviolette hasn't forgotten how to hit baseball. Everybody has slumps. That's like you're going to hear this phrase a million times until July. That's baseball, all right? But the pitching is what concerns me, and it was a combination of two things. One, just the inability to throw strikes, period. Constantly falling behind batters, no matter the pitcher, falling behind batters in counts, and not just 1-0, like 2-0, 3-0. 3-1, where they're just sitting dead red, basically. But then the other part of that was giving up a lot of two strike hits. Like all you got to do is make a pitch, and these kids got to figure out how to do that. Now, I believe they'll do it? Of course I do. Hey, this is so early in the season that like there is zero panic button when it comes to baseball. I believe the hitters are they're going to come around. But you got basically nothing out of the bottom half of your lineup. On Tuesday night, and against, no offense, like he pitches at Texas State because he's not good enough to pitch Texas A&M, and you win against Texas A&M pitchers. Now, if you want against the bullpen guys, maybe you roughed him up a little bit. I don't know, but there's got to be more consistency in the plate approach, I think, a little bit. With the patience and quit trying to swing for the fences. Like again, contact baseball, level swing path. Just kind of the fundamentals. Just get back to it. You're not going to win games because you show up in an A&M jersey, which I don't think they believe. But just you have to go out and you have to play baseball and you have to play as hard as you can every game you play. And that's why baseball is an absolute grind, because as much as it is a team sport, it is an incredibly individual sport.
It is. I mean, it is absolutely a mental game, right? I mean, you've got to be in your own personal headspace to do what you need to do and do it well. I mean, if you look at what happened with our bullpen, I'm just obviously just stats, you end up getting
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to
I know,
hear
I know you don't want to
it.
hear it, but you have 10 strikeouts in the game, but you also had 10 walks, 3 hit by pitch, and you gave up 9 hits. Like, I mean, you gave them so many base runners over the course of this game and gave them way too many opportunities. Now, I know a lot of people mentioned fielding. I didn't have a lot of issues with the fielding against Texas State. Those were well-placed hits when they were hit. I think just the big thing going forward is exactly what you were saying a minute ago. This is not any kind of early indication that, oh, the wheels are coming off. Oh, this is a poorly coached team. I think this is simply the team starting to gel because you have to also understand this is a brand new coaching staff. Yes, we do have Michael Early who has been here. But other than that, you have a brand new pitching coach. You have, new hitting coaches. You've got a whole new system that is coming in here. And these guys are going to have to adjust and move forward. I think you're going to see a much more indicative version of what Texas A&M looks like this upcoming weekend down in Houston at the Juice Box. I mean, you've got three big matchups coming up with Arizona, Oklahoma State, and Rice. I think if you go 2-1 this weekend, I think you take away a lot of positives. Especially with it being at a neutral site in a neutral ballpark with, a covered, I mean, it's a covered clean environment. At this point, you just got to go out there and do what you know how to do. Now, if we go 1-2, get swept, people are going to start asking a lot more questions.
Yeah, and I think don't know if I want to use the phrase deservedly so, but maybe so, right?
Yeah, maybe so.
But if we go down there and in three games we get the starting pitching, the weekend starting rotation that we've seen so far, I like our chances. But they've got to start hitting the baseball. It's as simple as that. Like you have to start producing runs. And again, Baseball is a fickle game, and I get that. But I think all of us expect a hell of a lot more than 14 runs out of a series against Cal Poly.
I agree. I mean, if you go back, like I said, I like to look back, obviously, at previous seasons to kind of give people a little bit of weight, kind of leaning into this year. Because, I mean, you're coming off of a national championship run where you came up just short, and now you're coming into this season, and everybody's got these super high expectations. Fact of the matter is, I don't know if many of y'all have very short memories, but last season, most of the time when we were scoring in bunches, right? We would score, 4 or 5 runs an inning, but then, like, the rest of the game, we might have one here and there. Like,
Yeah.
we tend to score when we're kind of getting hot all at the same time.
Like burst.
If we're all feeling it good against the same pitcher, that's generally how this team has scored in the past. And we just haven't seen a whole lot of that early in this season. But even so, when we have scored a lot of runs, it's been in that fashion. You just hope that we can start stringing those hits together consistently.
Yeah, well, and that's the word is consistency, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to put up one run every inning and just see. Like, I don't have any problem with small ball. I'm not talking about bunting. Let's don't never bunt.
Yeah.
Kent Murphy.
Well, especially with the lineup we have, these guys can rake.
Yes, and they should be. And what's funny is some of these homers that went to the track against Texas State, I mean, they were barreled up. They weren't, like super high loopers. They were barreled, just they fell short. But again, just get on base and move people around, kind of thing. I think that's probably what I want to see is just a consistent offense that's going to put up a couple runs just about every inning, give or take. And you're gonna have innings where you're not going to score. You're gonna have games where you don't score much. But I think, and I know that like it's crazy to say 12 runs in a series, but this is non-conference and 12 runs in a series. That's come on, that's four a game, and it's Cal Poly, so. I understand the complaints. I just don't understand the people freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you, right? I mean, where we stand, it is obviously early in the season. Obviously, when you start the season with that number one next to your name, everybody's going to just assume, oh, this is going to be that super hot team. This is the team. Like, do I think they have a chance to earn that ranking as the season goes? Absolutely, they do. But they're going to have to show it, and they're going to have to earn it themselves. It's not going to be given.
Yeah, and it's one of those maybe a punch in the face is good. Same thing with the basketball team. It just you don't know how it's going to play out. I just there's so much talent and there's a ton of experience. Even a bunch of the new guys are experienced. These aren't freshmen that we're putting up at the plate necessarily. So it'll work itself out. I want more data points. This weekend is a great one. In case you don't know, it's going to be streaming on the Astros YouTube channel for free, so you can watch this. It's not like Flow Sports where you got to sign up for a fake membership kind of thing, and then you forget to cancel it.
Things that I am definitely going to be keeping an eye on as we move into this next section of the season. I'm definitely going to keep my eye on Sawyer Farr coming in, in the infield, but more or less kind of taking the role of what Gavin was last season. This is a highly touted freshman coming in that everybody's assuming is going to do fairly well. And, I've got my hopes for him. I've got my hopes ups for Jamal George coming into the lineup. All these guys getting key experience right now will end up paying off as we move forward into the season. So that's a good thing to take away from this. At least from these last several games.
Yeah, getting them reps, much needed reps that'll pay dividends down the line. Just for now, there's going to be some frustration, but there's no cliff jumping. There just can't be. It's baseball. If you don't understand baseball, please, 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 please just be quiet, sit in the corner and watch.
Quick note for TK3. What a hell of a catch that was.
He's fun to watch, man.
Yeah.
You heard the hype the whole time, and of course the Aggies, we know the name, but the name doesn't always translate to hype, right? But that kid's fun to watch.
He's fun to watch, and I am excited to see how he develops as the season goes. So, yeah, some positives to take away. Obviously, not you're 5-2. Unfortunately, the two have been the last two games. So you want to see some positivity going into the weekend, and you got to think that the guys are going to shake this Texas State game off. Hopefully go out there and put up a good performance against Arizona and get some confidence heading into that big Oklahoma State game on Saturday. So take advantage of those. Hopefully we keep on rocking and rolling. On a more positive front, far more positive front, if you want to really take a good look at something, let's go take a peek at softball. My goodness.
Yeah, so fantastic, absolutely fantastic weekend. It could not have been better. We talked about, man, if you can just split with Florida State, because it wasn't like Clearwater, like you were in Tallahassee, right? And to go in there and to sweep the weekend, which I thought the final game was just as impressive because you're coming off of a doubleheader sweep of the number 8 team in the country on
Right.
their field. And it's a program that draws well. Florida State is serious about their softball. Watching on TV, the environment sounded good. So, and you could see there were people there, like beautiful weather. Obviously, it's Florida. It's Florida and it's not hurricane season. So, it's beautiful weather. I just went in there and they kind of imposed their will. I was just so impressed with how well they played. And what's funny, I complained about it last week. To go in and lose one game in a round robin in Clearwater and you drop in the rankings, like it's just in a walk off to the number 10, like it was so stupid.
It's what we're used to at this point, though. I mean, as
Well, this is,
Aggies.
yeah, just because it's stupid doesn't mean I wasn't completely ready for it.
Right.
But I just, you're in the third weekend of your season, you are getting postseason experience in a hostile environment against a top 10 team, well, top shit, top 8. They were number 8 in the country. And play them a doubleheader. I mean, that's the kind of, yeah, it's, I thought that was so great. And it wasn't just Emily Kennedy in the circle. And the weekend, we saw Lessenstein pitch great.
Yes.
Grace Sparks, I thought, looked fantastic. The bats showed up, even with Mac Barbara maybe not having a great weekend kind of thing. And so we can score without crushing power, right? We also still have Maya, so there's that. That's a filthy 1-2 punch.
It
But
is.
because so you come home, the Texas, it was the Invitational this week, right? It was Aggie Classic first weekend. I believe it's
Yeah.
the Invitational this weekend.
Yeah, we're currently hosting Texas State as we speak.
Right. Yeah, I trying to pay attention and actually be here for the podcast, so I didn't put it on my phone. But another big weekend to showcase things, and they're playing well enough to where they're able, again, like baseball, even though baseball isn't having the success relative to what softball's having, but that early season opportunity to put inexperience and freshmen in situations that will pay off down the road. And so that's what I think we're really seeing out of softball. And I love it because you have the softball team is interesting because you got some transfers and you've got some veterans and then you've got some youth and they're all kind of putting it together. And they're all pulling, we talked about this, I think I said this last week, they're all pulling the rope in the same direction, right? And I'm not trying to say that, like, I'm not comparing baseball to softball by any means. I think, again, we talked about it. Aggie baseball is going to be just fine.
I think so.
And it's a bit of the same situation, where you see veteran experience, veteran transfers, but then some youth. So both diamonds are a ton of fun. I fully believe in Aggie baseball. And Aggie softball is, they're just rolling right now. They're
They are.
so much fun.
Yeah, it's been exciting to keep up with them. Of course, this big weekend coming up. Yeah, you've got a doubleheader tonight. Then you get one game tomorrow against George Washington, and then you're going to end up playing Texas Tech, which is another top 15 team. They're number 13 in the country coming in, and we'll have them on Saturday and Sunday with a
Well, yeah, quality
I would say.
opponent. That's one thing I love about softball, and obviously their ability to play multiple doubleheaders makes that it's a totally different situation, right? You can play a doubleheader Friday, Saturday, and maybe even Sunday if you feel like it, if the scheduling allows. But just getting in all those innings and getting all those games, and it gives you these opportunities and these invitationals and classics and all this other stuff, is it almost like each one of these weekends reminds me of a football non-conference schedule. You're like cupcake, Big Ten.
Exactly. Big 12, whoever, right.
You bring in some lesser teams, that honestly gives you an opportunity to work through some things or try some things out.
Well, get some different looks from people that are playing different styles of ball elsewhere, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Then on top of that, because of softball substitution rules, if you don't want to lose the game, you can always bring in some people or bring people back into the game.
Right.
So you just kind of seal up a victory. And having Tech in, Tech's probably the big name this weekend, which is great. I absolutely love it. Looking for another big weekend from Aggie softball. It would not shock me for them to sweep the weekend. They are on fire right now.
Now they're playing hot, so definitely excited for softball as they continue to roll. And then, of course, we'll get into the big series at the Diamond this next week afterwards. So it's against Florida. We will definitely be touching on that here next week. In fact, may have to adjust our recording schedule because I have a rehearsal on Thursday in Austin. So we'll clarify that here before too long. But that's coming up. But definitely want to highlight that as we get a little closer. So. Excited for softball. In the meantime, though, we did have a bunch of questions, and of course, we always love when you guys fire in your questions when we ask, and we appreciate that. So this was fun. We got an option to pick two of three from Jive Coach G. He gave us three questions. He said we can answer two of them. So the first question he asked is, what are you giving up or taking on for Lent?
Oh, I don't do Lent.
Fair enough. Okay, so we can skip that one. All
Yeah, we'll do the other two.
right. Well, the first one, it's a not quite sports related, but something to that was kind of big on the social medias this past week.
I don't think the first one was sports related either, Rob.
Well, I know it wasn't, but this one's definitely not.
Trying to tell me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
All right, let's not bring religion into this one.
Boy, that was on the other night. It was great.
It's a great movie. If you're listening to this podcast and you have not watched Major League, do yourself a favor. Do that tonight. Go watch Major League. Go find it streaming somewhere. It's literally one of the best baseball movies. One of my personal favorites of all time. I'd say probably my number one.
I'm there with you.
It's so good.
Nah, the natural.
The Natural's up there too. Oh, damn it. The Natural's real good. Well, you know what we ought to do at some point? We
We'll do
ought
a
to do
baseball movie ranking.
I'd say we yeah, a tier list for baseball. I won't necessarily rank it, but I'll tier list them. I think that sounds like a good idea.
That's fair.
In light of the Mary Kate drama at Ole Miss, I'm not sure if you saw this.
Yes.
Okay. TLDR, she slept with her boyfriend's dad. What's the dirtiest that what is the dirtiest someone has done you slash someone you know relationship wise?
So I'm assuming you saw everything that it turns out it was a big hoax, right?
Right.
AI generated hoax. Like the family has hired investigators. They've started a GoFundMe for people who are like cyber bullied. This is absolutely bonkers.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
You got to realize I grew up without social media, so like you really couldn't do anything like this to me.
No, I
Like
mean, heck,
you
social
couldn't do this
media.
to anybody.
I mean, social media really wasn't even a big deal until I was in high school. And even then, that was like MySpace. I mean, I wasn't even on Facebook until 2008.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, the worst you could do was just spread rumors in school,
Right, you know, and those are
and
brutal too.
no, they're terrible. I gotta be honest, I can't really. If they were that bad, I probably blocked him out this late in life.
Okay, I do have one. Granted, it's not very relevant to anything close to this time, but back in 2018, I was dating a young lady, and things kind of spiraled out after Mother's Day where. All of a sudden, I got hit with a laundry list of things that I wasn't doing correctly, which, you know, I was like, oh man, are these things I can fix? Only for a couple of weeks later, for a really good friend of mine and her to go Facebook official. And I had to find out via Facebook. And I got so many messages from people. And what makes it worse is these are 203 regulars, one of which is still very much a regular. The other one, he's off doing his own thing. At this point in time. But like I said, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to go out and do all that. But that was a very interesting situation for me. That was probably the dirtiest I've ever been done, I would say.
I can now that I'm like kind of racking my brain, like I can think of a couple. There was one, so when I was in the old guard, and it just shows you that people need to mind their own damn business, right? This is where the majority of these problems come from. Like
Right.
stay in your lane. And I was dating this girl. It was before Megan, obviously. I was dating this girl, and And we were so that like the barracks, the parking lot was up in front of the barracks, and like the day, like the locker room for all the dudes that were off post, like the windows faced the parking lot. It was a nighttime, and she had driven so she could drop me off and go back. She lived down in Lynch, or no, excuse me, she was working down in Richmond, so she had to drive me like an hour and a half back. And so she dropped me off, and like I give her a kiss. It's in the parking lot, so there's lights, but it's not that bright. I give her a kiss. She's got a baseball hat on. She's wearing my hat, and she had her hair up inside of it. And so dudes were like, "We saw Roy kissing a guy." And so that rumor went flying around the old guard.
Oof.
That I was kissing a dude, but like that's probably the like I don't even know that's doing me dirty. I just that's the last thing I can think of.
Fair
People
enough.
just being jerks or just not minding their own business.
Exactly. That's pretty good. All right, so his second question, who wins the IndyCar race at St. Pete, not Russia, this Sunday? Are you even watching?
No, I'm not.
Unfortunately, me neither. I'll be honest, like racing sports, I mean, I'll keep up with some things every once in a while if like there's a lot of like storylines that are going on that are just kind of perpetuating outside of the racing world, but I'll be honest, like I'm not a big race guy. I just never have been.
So I watch the Indy 500 every year because it's on Memorial Day weekend, and it's just kind of like the Great American Tradition, right? I used to be a massive NASCAR fan, like playing my Sundays around it. And then Jeff Gordon retired, and I just kind of couldn't find a driver I could latch on to.
Jeff Gordon, all day.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, and
Good job, man.
so I just really haven't watched racing. I know like the F1 stuff. I think it was F1. Like there was a Netflix documentary, so I got a ton of people that had never done anything or cared about racing or whatsoever. Got them interested in the sport. I respect racing. I really do. I just got to where I don't really watch it anymore. I was telling Megan the other week. I was like, I'd really like to get back into watching NASCAR on Sundays. And then I was kind of looking through, and I still don't. I can't. There's not a driver that. I just. I'd rather watch golf and nap like an old man.
If I had to pick one of the modern racers that I tend to support, I'll support Chase Elliott. I like what I see out of him. I mean, he kind of more or less took over for Jeff's slot there for a little bit and then has continued. So I've supported him, but more or less from a distance. I wouldn't say I'm like super locked in with him. Like my buddy James, who's been listening. I know he's a Chase Elliott fan. He loves NASCAR. So we actually went to
It used to
go.
be me. Like we'd go to the bars to watch it. Like we'd have watch parties in the house. I loved it. I just kind of fell off, honestly, once you retired.
So, have you ever been out to a race?
I have.
Where'd you
Yeah.
go? Where'd you go watch it?
Up to Dallas.
Dallas. There you go.
Yeah, I was part of that when Jeff Gordon had the A&M engineering car. A bunch of us engineering students got to go up there. So we were in the
Nice.
pits and got to do an interview. It was really cool. Like it was crew chief and it was funny because there's a bunch of like engineering nerds that are super hyped to be there to learn all the engineering stuff. And I'm like this massive NASCAR guy, and I'm like, let's talk NASCAR, man.
So I've been out to one race. I got to go watch a race in Vegas back in 21. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. So.
Yeah, if you've never been to a race, you cannot appreciate how loud those SOBs are.
Oh, they are ridiculously loud.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you have to have the headphones on, right? I
You have
mean,
to.
it's cranking. So, I mean, that was incredible. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Would love to go back to another one.
It's a
Garrett's.
fun event. Like you don't even have to like racing to enjoy going to a race. It's kind of one of those.
So, Jeff Coach D, thank you for the question. Appreciate that always. Garrett Smith, our buddy, he asked us a question. He said, "Has Aggie basketball hit its ceiling and probably won't make the Sweet 16, or am I just having battered Aggie syndrome?"
Well, everybody's got battered Aggie syndrome. Once you have it, it's
Yep,
you can't
it's
get
for
rid of it.
life. You're not going to
It's
get rid of it.
for life. I don't know that they've hit their ceiling, because I think we have two more distinct data points that'll tell us that. So that's kind of one of my like I'll hold my comment until I see both the Florida and the Auburn games. Again, I put zero stock into the conference tournament. I just don't care. I still believe we can get to the second weekend, but I think that may be our ceiling.
This season, probably.
Again, somebody randomly gets hot like Manny did last year, then it's all bets are off, right? I'll have to reserve judgment until we get past the Auburn game, or hopefully past the Auburn game, and hopefully not
Right.
halftime of Auburn
Ideally,
game.
that'd be nice, right? But yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. So, appreciate you, Garrett, for firing in a question.
Yeah,
John, go ahead.
that's, I mean, we've seen them do it, right? We've seen them win games that they shouldn't win. So again, this is one where I think you got to temper like the flare-ups of BAS and let them get through these next two games. And like, if they go on the road to Florida and get beat by 40, then I don't think you're really going to worry about the Auburn game. But I don't think they will.
No, I'm with you on that. John Patterson on Twitter, he asked us, he said, "Isn't it sad that baseball season just began and it's already over? We stink, Aggie Today community."
Yeah, I did see that one. Again, baseball is just such a funky game. It is. And we knew that we were going to have questions in the bullpen and on the back end of the bullpen, right? I think we all understood that. Just the one thing we're probably all frustrated with is the bats, because we were just so used to watching this team absolutely mash. But you have to remember, we didn't retain 100% of production coming back by any means. You had an All-American and Braden Montgomery gone, which was a ton of production, and not just, and honestly, he had so much more to do than just hit and field. He was such a good teammate, such a presence in the dugout.
No question.
So again, this is a team that, because of who they lost, there's going to be some identity that they need to find. And I've just, to me, it's, you just got to give them a little time.
I
And
agree.
you can weather the early season storm in baseball, because the only thing that matters is going to be your conference play. Like,
That's gonna be critical.
if you scheduled a massive, like, that's the thing about baseball, scheduling a massive like top five opponent from out of conference and non-conference is stupid.
Yeah, which we tend to not do. Like, if we're going to see those type of teams, it'll be one off either in Arlington or Houston
Right.
or Frisco or
Right.
somewhere, right?
One of these, yeah, it's one of these kind of roundabout kind of things
Yeah,
where,
I cannot remember a time when we've brought in a bigger out of conference opponent into Olsen before conference play.
so my thing would be, look, let's get through this weekend where we have Arizona, Oklahoma State, and Rice, right? I'd love to go 2-1. Love to go 3-0, obviously.
Obviously,
Would love to see that. You're gonna have your starting pitchers out there. But let's get through this weekend, and then we can kind of start assessing things with at least a little bit more data points against some teams that are in. And I would wager that both Arizona and Oklahoma State are better than our opponents we played so far.
I would agree. Yes.
So two out of your three games this weekend are against the best competition you've seen so far. And from there, let's look at how the series played out, what happened. Because again, in baseball, this is not a cop out. In baseball, it's not always the end score line that tells the story. Just like the Sunday game against Cal Poly.
I mean,
Yeah.
we largely dominated that game up until the end, it, on as far as pitching.
Yeah. And then, oops.
Oops.
Now the bats, yeah, okay, we need to score more runs, but the pitching is, so it's, I want to see us get through this weekend, especially, we're out of Olsen, a little bit different, not sleeping in your own bed, to see how things go, see how Early adjusts with the bullpen arms, who he thinks between, from what he saw, in the first two series plus Tuesday, who can he trust, who's he going to lean on, and who looks like they're probably going to sit in the bullpen for a good majority of the season.
Right. I mean, that's going to be the big thing, right? We're going to have to see some guys kind of establish themselves this weekend, hopefully out of the bullpen. That's what I would like to see. That's going to be the big one for sure.
Right. And I saw some earlier today, like, seriously, like, everybody tap the brakes. Texas A&M and Virginia are combined 9-5. We're both going to be hosting Supers at the end of the year.
Certainly, I would tend to agree with that. I like to see both of us be top eight teams by the end of the
It's just
season.
early season stepping on your toe kind of crap, and feeling things out. So it is certainly not over. And quite frankly, you could go 500 non-conference play, and it doesn't matter if you go out there and win all your series, at home in the SEC, and don't get swept on the road. I mean, that's a regional.
That's definitely regional. And you do a little better than that, that could be a super. So just rock and roll it. So Jonna, our friend Jonna, had a few questions for
Doesn't
us.
she seem like an essay?
A little bit. Number one, she said, I would like an angry old man rant yelling at clouds from Roy.
That's the thing. Like, the sky's not falling right now.
Exactly. We don't have to
Yeah.
rant.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, are we frustrated? Absolutely. And
Sure.
I think the frustration between none of us expected A&M baseball to lose a game this early in the season because they were the undisputed number one. So there's frustration there, even though you do have to pepper in the fact, again, it's baseball, but there's frustration there. You don't expect to lose Cal Poly. You don't expect to lose Texas State. Basketball is frustrating because it feels like it's on a slide.
Right, for sure.
But there's enough basketball left, and there's the entire baseball season left that there is just no reason to start getting crazy about it.
No, I agree with you.
So there won't be any old man rant today. I
Not
mean,
yet.
in a week, I don't know.
Yeah, so give it a little time. We'll give it time to stew. Number two, this one's more directed towards me. I would love updates on new music. Yes, I'm way too excited. No, I don't care. I'm way too excited. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So at this point, once again, do we have a set date on the album release? No. But what I can give you is with this upcoming show at Billy Bob's, as previously mentioned on this podcast, me and my boys were getting together on Thursday in Austin to go do a little rehearsal space. We're going to sit down and completely reconstruct the set from top to bottom. And what's going to happen is you're going to see a large number of the newer songs in our set. So if you're out and about on any of these upcoming shows, you're about to hear a bunch of music that you can't hear yet, but it's going to be.
I've heard
So he has, but
it.
a lot of other folks have not. So if you want to, if you really want to come check out some of the newer songs, by all means, come out to our shows. And as mentioned, we got Billy Bob's coming up next week. Very excited for that one. We're gonna be at House Pasture and Concan the week after that on that Friday night headlining. That'll be a good one. And then Luckenbach, Texas. So if you're out in Fredericksburg area that weekend on the 21st, by all means, come out and party with us in Luckenbach. Then we'll
Well,
get. And then Madison County Fair the day after that.
you have to understand, and I still have an active security clearance. I can be trusted with this kind of information.
Oh, of course. And then, of course, we'll wrap up all that for a fairly local, sh a couple fairly local shows. We will be at, once again, Madison County Fair day after Luckenbach, 22nd. And then the 29th, we're going to be at New Caney doing a bull ride. So if you're down that way, come holler at your boys. Come and watch it. But
Good.
number three, and this is just typical. Age old question. When are we going to get together and let me be the professional nerd?
That's why don't you put a pin in that one?
Put a pin in that one. We'll keep moving.
We'll
All right.
circle back on it.
Yeah.
Put that on the back
I'll
burner.
look into it. All right. So moving on. That was all of our questions. Thank you guys so much for firing these in. We really do appreciate it. It's good. It's good stuff. We really do thank you for that. So with the upcoming weekend, Roy, what plans you got coming on?
Actually, I got some housework to do. I've got an orange plant that has tiny little oranges on it, an orange tree. I got tiny little oranges, and it's got a whole bunch of new flower buds. It has not physically grown probably in about a month. I've got to get that sucker in the ground so it can grow. So that's one of my big projects, and just clean it up and working because
Never
work never
ends.
stops. Yeah, that's if you saw the little break between basketball and baseball that had to be edited, that's because work never ends. But yeah, the party goes on forever and the work never. Oh no, that's not how that goes.
The road goes on the work. The road goes on forever.
Right? Yeah, work goes on the road for you.
Yes, it does.
But just plugging away, man. I think I alluded to it last week. I've just got some massive projects I'm working on. It's just trying to balance that with doing regular real estate, right? Because massive projects, I don't get paid by the hour. These aren't billable hours. So just working to kind of balance everything. Had a really good coaching session this week. So I'm sure
Awesome.
everybody's super curious about how real estate's going. So, but yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Rates are in the high sixes right now, in case anybody cares, and they're
And
not looking to fall anytime soon.
coming up for us, I mean, like I said, this weekend, I'm planning on just spinning around the town. We're not really I don't have any desire to drive down to Houston this weekend. I'm just gonna hold down the fort up here, take care of a few things around the house. I've been very productive, getting a little organ. Actually, did a little organizing around the house, reset the couch, got some cleaning done. Right, so really can't complain on that front. Honestly, been feeling really good. On a more personal note, things have been going very well with me, and I cannot complain on that front. One thing that I am really enjoying has been taking care of a handful of posters for people. In fact, just got a show poster done for Bree Bagwell, and I have another one coming up with Lavernia for their 4th of July event. So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of show posters, and that's been nice. A couple of pieces of album art, a couple of merch things. So, that's happening in conjunction with my work that I've been doing for music lessons. And I do have some openings coming up in the future. So, once again, if y'all know anybody that's looking for voice lessons or bass lessons, once again, holler at your boy. I'm more than happy to help you guys out with that. But we do thank you guys so much for checking in on the podcast. If you were expecting a bunch of rants and a bunch of frustration out of us, you're not going to get it. This is the Red Ass Podcast. I hate to break it to you. We do support our boys. It sucks when we lose.
There have been rants.
There have been rants, and I mean, not
Now's
necessarily.
not the time, not just yet.
We're okay for now. So be sure to follow us on the socials. That's going to be Roy May 15 on X, Roy May Jr. on Instagram, Rob the Slapper on both Instagram as well as X. And of course, follow the Red Ass Podcast. Like, share, subscribe on YouTube if you're watching on there. Follow it on Spotify, Apple Music. Just share it around. We're just trying to, a couple little boys trying to have a good time on this podcast. So. It's all we can ask from you, and we thank you guys so much for that. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of Houston. Beat the hell out of the Aggie Classic. Beat the hell out of Florida. Give them. We'll see y'all next time.
Good.